I do.
Anyway, it's time to bring in Mr. Christmas at this time of year, and that is Jim Lynch. Jim is with us with Cover Your Assets. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and Christmas. And he brings over 40 years of experience, those subjects, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you Mr. Christmas.
Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Christmas.
Hey, yay.
Mr. Christmas, where were you in November 1988?
November 1988. November 88. Honestly, I don't remember.
Well, when we get off the air, review. Where was Mrs. Christmas?
Mrs. Christmas is stuffing the stocking.
I know, I understand, but where was Mrs. Christmas
that's
at
right
that?
After she stuffed it. November of 88. My God, 88, 88.
I know, Jim, you and I can't remember last week.
Yeah, but you're going to... Believe me, by tomorrow morning, you're going to want to.
What day is this, Marshall?
I have no idea now.
This is Tuesday.
She's got me all screwed up.
Put a year on it. Put a year on it. We'll work backwards.
1988.
Jill, why do you do this? It's year-end. It's time to relax.
Because tomorrow morning, when everyone wakes up, they're going to go, oh... And it's a big O. It hasn't happened for a while.
Just tell us.
No.
Then I'm going to shut your mic off for the rest of the
tell
show.
Tell you what. No, I don't know where he was in November 80.
Why does it mean anything? And why is everybody going to go, oh, tomorrow?
Because Saturn is leaving Saturn, which is pretty strict and persevering and very practical and ambitious and difficult. And boundary-ridden and rule-abiding, is leaving Sagittarius, which is a free-for-all, let's try it, into its sign of rulership, Capricorn. And suddenly it's like, yeah, okay, how are you going to pay for it? What are you doing? Really? And it's going to be that sudden. However, people can actually peg it to their own lives by knowing what they were doing in November 88. What was the big deal? What was going on? That's all.
Well,
I'm going to review this with Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, because Mrs.
I don't have anybody to review it with.
Because Mrs. You have me to review it with, and that's bad news for you. Mrs. Claus, see, it's moving into Mrs. Claus's sign. Because you and Mrs. Claus are opposites.
Right.
And that's
that much I know.
But that's what matters.
This much I know that listeners are sitting out there going, what the hell's going on?
After 30 plus years, you know that.
What the hell's going on?
They're either going, what the hell's going on, or they're going, wow, that is good information. Thank you very much. So moving on.
Thank you very much for that information. But the year itself has been pretty difficult.
The year itself? Yeah, we're going to roll right into another one. That's pretty, and I would recommend that people have, I do want to talk about year end really and truly, but I would also recommend that people, you know, figure out ways to deal with another year of same, you know, without getting, you know.
Okay, well, that I can get very much into, because I totally concur that next year could be a, in various ways, a bit of a doozy. Okay, it's Christmas, and you know you've spent your money already. But I think a great New Year's resolution is save your money from the get-go in the beginning of the year, and spend money on the most important thing that you have, which is your health and your overall well-being. The overall well-being can be taken care of, in my opinion, to a degree, by some good practices in terms of your mind, like reading more and technology less. But that said,
I just ask more? Do you read on a Kindle or do you read a book? Because I'm a big booker, and I just really recommend for reading, you know, just that book rather than screen, but I don't know what your view is. I was just curious.
I concur with what you're saying. The old-fashioned reading is the best thing in the world. You read about 50, 60 pages, you put the book down, and all of a sudden, you're just in a different kind of world. You're just relaxed. You're just thoughtful. You know, positive things come forward. By the way, I think after we got over, Capricorn and not Capricorn, but those various things you mentioned, it is very practical. Now, you have a site, I believe, don't you, Jill, on astrology?
No, just I've got the horoscopes that are up on, I've got the horoscopes which are up on robinhoodradio.com, and if people are,
Right. So, I have friends who are involved in this, and it does take quite a bit of study, does it not?
Yeah, you have to know some stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know your stuff, and you have to be disciplined about it, so.
It's just
like. Like everything, it can be useful in its own way. Anyhow, let's get on to. I wish I didn't have to do this, but I do have to do this. I would say, in preparing for a somewhat difficult next year, you might want to reflect on this tax or lack of tax cut for most of you out there. And it is what it is. It's all over the papers. It's the party in power headed by a billionaire taking advantage of the power and giving a lot of money to the 1%, the 3%, the 5%, which would have been okay, but screwing everybody else is not okay. So I hope as voters you pay attention to what just transpired. It's probably one of the biggest heists, like in robbery, in many, many years.
But Jim, and his low-income voters aren't going to be fooled. Are going to be fooled? You know why? Because his low-income voters are going to get double their initial deduction, and they're going to think that's the greatest thing in the world. That's the sad part of it. That's the sad part of it. They're not going to realize what else they're going to lose in health care and everything like that.
Well, Marshall, I really, really, really hope you're wrong. But maybe you're right. I mean, the last year works in your favor in terms of that opinion, because so many people just have not given up on the current president somehow doing great things for them. But this is the... this is beyond the pale, this particular thing. This hit people in the pocketbook, and it hits health care, and it hits children, older people. And by the way, I hope people begin to pay attention that they're going to try and go after Medicaid and so forth to help balance the budget, mitigate the budget deficit, which they've increased by about $1.5 trillion. This thing is abominable. And, if you haven't read about it, if you don't understand it, it's not hard, folks. There's so many comparisons out there. The guy who makes minimum wage or is just a regular earner, I think he takes home $75 more, whereas the man making $400,000, maybe a couple of grand, $4,000, but as you get into the real estate class, into the corporations, into the wealthy individuals, we're talking about billions of dollars that are going to people who theoretically do not need it. And this is not coming back, folks, in terms of supporting jobs and so forth. It's coming back in the form of dividends to shareholders, buybacks. There was an interview with Gary Cohn about a month ago, and the moderator said, okay, raise your hands among the corporate executives there. There must have been about 40 of them. You know, who's going to use whatever they get from our proposed tax cut to capital expenditure, reinvest, add employees? I think two people put up their hands. Cohn said, hey, what about the rest of you? Well, they're no fools. They have all kinds of capital. They don't need any more capital to invest. Two, if they wanted to invest that capital, they would have invested it already, because interest rates are at historically low. They can even borrow more money. So there's a great charade being played out on the American people who read this stuff coming from the Republican Party.
Well, Gary Cohn is being interviewed by Mikey Allen of Axios tomorrow at 8 a.m. About tax cuts and a sneak peek, the agenda. If you're in Washington, obviously, you can go see it, but you can also go on to Axios and find out more about it. And, you know, what I'm trying to figure out is for people who are not necessarily consumers of the non-Republican agenda, it's just a place to look and see, you know, so then you don't have to take anyone's word for it.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about it is that I looked at it because initially, because I don't make much money, it's going to give me double the standard deduction, which is going to mean that instead of me paying, which I have been paying the past couple of years, between $700 and $900, I'll probably have to pay between $250 and $400.
Okay, so
but thank God I'm on Medicare now, because what it will take away, if I wasn't 65 and on Medicare, it will take away the amount that was being put towards my Affordable Care Act, which was to the tune of $500 a month. That's going away. That is $6,000 a year that would be leaving me, mm-hmm, for me to get back $300 to $400, maybe $500. That's when people are going to see what it feels like that are making anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000 a piece and have been on the Affordable Care Act, and then instead of paying $1,200 or $1,000 a month for insurance, we're paying $150 to $200. That's when the impact's going to be felt by those people.
Right, and then I go back to it's funny, because who knows what the offset will be. I go back to that very compelling Maureen Dowd piece where her brother, the Republican, wrote back that his son had just gotten not an affordable, you know, insurance premium for $8,135. So you know, it's just the other side. There are going to be people who are offset.
Yeah, but they're wealthy people. It's like my brother Mark.
The kid wasn't wealthy. Yeah. The point is that the point is that there. It's not in defense of. It's in offset of. And each person has to actually look at this from an individual standpoint and start engaging and connecting to what's going on. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but okay, that's fine. It still doesn't matter. The people that were poor and voted for Donald Trump because America was going to be great again are going to be left standing waiting for the train.
Okay,
so I don't care about anybody else. They're going to be standing left waiting for the train.
Okay, and meanwhile, because this is a question that I wanted to ask Jim, for when Donald Trump was elected, there was terrific fear within financial sectors, particularly, that the market was going to crash.
No, there wasn't. Businesses were waiting for him to get elected. The night he got elected, the markets went a little crazy, but then from then on, when they realized they were going to get their tax cuts and all the rich were going to get what they want, the markets took off. Took off like a damn spaceship.
My nephew, the hedge funder, called the this one, the that one, and initially there was a tremendous concern.
For about 2 seconds.
Well, whatever it was, it caused certain people to do certain things. But that I'm not talking about the Dow futures of the day of the election. I am talking about the perceived sense of life at the beginning of January. So, and you know, could have been year end, could have been first quarter. Who knows? This is not my department. But the fact is that I noticed in a business thing that I do subscribe to that there's some talk about, well, now that the attention has switched to profitability from growth, and it was talking about some high-profile businesses that had, you know, not done as well as expected. And I just wondered what your view of that going
forward. Well, let's go back to the market overall first. The last 4 or 5 months, people who have the money, investors who have large sums of money, have been very aggressively putting it to work, primarily because they were anticipating this tax cut that they would get. and they felt it was a good bet they'd get it because the Republicans control both parts of the House and their bet of the Congress, I beg pardon. And so their bet was a good one. Now, going forward, the tax cut has happened, and they've already taken the market up, stocks up anywhere from 5 to 25%, dependent on the stock. So they're probably not going to be very aggressive in buying more stock. So for the average person, as I've been suggesting, please be very careful. Take your profits. Move your portfolio into a safer environment. I don't anticipate 18 is going to be anywhere near as 17 was, because that the market was stimulated by certainly the tax cut plan, and secondly, interest rates being kept low for so long. That's going to begin to stop, and not stop. It's not. It's going to be mitigated, the lower interest rates in 2018. Why? It's very simple why. It's got nothing to do with inflation. It's got to do with the Federal Reserve likes to control the currency, likes to be in the catbird seat in terms of influencing the economy. With rates so low, they can't push rates even lower if we begin to have a slowdown in the economy. So in my opinion, they're going to raise rates 3-4 times in 18. Which is not going to be a big increase from where we are now, but it will impact investors, particularly those at the margin who are speculating in stocks. Another reason to be very careful.
Can I just, before you get
go,
on.
Go ahead.
What is a safe investment, in your view? You know, I don't mean literally, but what when you say, you know, put it in something safe, what does that mean?
Two year and shorter U.S. government or municipal bonds. I am very bearish on where we're going in 18. Why? Because the government is unraveling, and it's amazing to me the lack of concern, generally speaking, on the part of people. They're very bemused. They're very everything's okay. Everything is not okay. The head of the snake, Donald Trump, he's a liar. He's a crook. He's in bed with the Russians. How much longer do you think this is going to go on? And I think he's on a steady road towards eventual impeachment or resignation. Dallas Morning News of day before yesterday, please read it. It's on the internet. Courtesy of Citizens United, Russians who are now U.S. citizens have been contributing at an increased rate monies to the Republican Party, such as $1 million to the head of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. The Dallas Morning News, you read that, and if you're not quite upset, then maybe you need to prick your finger with a needle or something. This country is being overridden by outsiders who have money to influence our elections. Please wake up. And if you think the stock market is hunky-dory, you take a look at that picture where outsiders, individuals, are beginning to have such a big place in our lives, economically and otherwise. So 18... as in 2018, yes, the stars are not aligned for good things, but it's right there in front of you in terms of what's going on. Donald Trump is in the pocket of Putin. He's his little pussycat. The man is a maniac. He's an insane person. Please, you know, this goes back hundreds of years when you had rulers who went off the rails, and the net result was the populace was hurt. I find it very strange that Trump is so close to Putin, and Putin is this dictator, and Putin has all of these people in Russia who make very little money, who are on vodka or cleaning fluid because they can't afford anything more, but the oligarchs in Russia have billions and billions of dollars. there is a little bit of a corollary there. The difference is we're a democracy. That is, we still are a democracy. Unless you listen to the communist affiliate Fox News in this country that lies up a whatever, trying to validate that Trump is okay. He's not okay. Evil doesn't even do it justice. So save your money. Beware. That said, we have a democracy. We have solid people who are trying to make it work. Support those people by voting for them, by getting out in your community, and by getting away from this divisiveness that we have. Don't you understand? Trump loves the divisiveness. That makes him more powerful. Putin loves the divisiveness. That makes him more powerful. It's like if you're price fighting and you only have one arm, certainly you can't do as well as a guy with two arms. Well, that's exactly what Trump and Putin are trying to do. And that people have believed his BS, Trump's BS all this year, is beyond the pale. It's human nature. People make decisions and they're wrong and they can't admit it and so forth. Folks, if you made a mistake, admit it and get on with it.
All right, we have got 2.5 minutes left for the wrap-up of our Christmas show.
Well, shall we sing Deck the Halls, or how do you want to go? How do you want to go out?
I don't know. I want to go out thinking that people stay involved and stay, no matter what side they're on, stay attentive, stay involved, and keep working at what you believe in.
And I want to go out saying you got to understand both sides. You just really have to understand both sides, because one side yelling at another side, telling them that they're full of, you know, that they're brainless, just doesn't usually end well, unfortunately.
Well, I would say this. I think we've all got to start yelling, but we've got to be yelling for what we have, which is our democracy. And different opinions on different things are fine, but when you get yourself into a position where you don't think, you just go with your emotion, that doesn't help you, really, and it doesn't help anybody else. As we go into 2018, I'm certain the democracy will prevail. I have a feeling some good things will happen in Washington, because some people are going to be leaving. I have a feeling that the country is beginning to come together again over these sexual harassment issues, over the bribery, over the chicanery. And I think we should put our arms around the fact that we're all citizens together in this situation. And periodically, thank God for the fact that you don't live in Russia, that you don't live in Turkey, that you don't live in parts of Africa. If you get down on your knees and thank God for that, that might be a very helpful thing to do in this circumstance. But as Marshall said, let's get up together and work together. And that means give somebody a smile once in a while that you've been grumpy with. It's very simple things that change an environment. I see it all the time when I say something to somebody in the street and they don't even know me. They light up. They feel great. And I feel great. And that's the way we should all feel, great. Well, we only have, which is ourselves. Prize it. Love it. Take care of it. And take care of those kids. Okay, folks, enjoy this wonderful time of year. The angels touch closer to the earth. I hope you're all blessed with great things, not necessarily materially, but health-wise and mind-wise. And be of good cheer. We're going through this thing together, and we're going to be okay.
All right. Jim, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye now.